Go. There we go. Okay, so we're recording. So this is going to be cast number 6 for us, and we've got the whole team assembled again. I know it's been like 3 weeks since we've last spoke, but a ton of equipment's dropped. I'll rephrase that. A ton of equipment's been announced. A few pieces of equipment have started shipping, so we got plenty of stuff to talk about. So starting on the roll call again, alphabetically, we've got J.J. Boyds with us. The indomitable Andrew Cox, the Aussie out there, finally clean shaven, looking oh so pretty. Then we got Justin Wilson, who's fresh back from vacation. He had to go and try out New Orleans first. You break it in, basically ruin it for everybody else. So once we get there for the mom, it's just going to be broken.
He's gonna be, oh, let's go do this and that.
Yeah, I got some good spots.
Let's go over here. I know a guy, so let's go do that. So anyway, let's just jump right into it because we always seem to run way too long. So let's start. I think kind of the going back the last, or I guess the oldest announcement is going to be the Ubiquiti Tough Switch series was announced. Kind of again, they're not actually shipping anything yet, are they?
I think according to some of the master distributors, they have a street date. It's not too far off. I think that they're going to ship soon. I guess you could say they're on the boat. I think that's what people like
they're
to say.
They're on the boat.
Yeah.
Coming over from China.
Yeah.
So it looks like, because I'm just pulling up JJ's site, because if it's anything Ubiquiti, it's usually the easiest place to go.
Yeah, usually until you go to the hospital, almost dying. Yeah, I've just not had it.
I know, JJ comes up with the craziest excuses to get out of work sometimes. I just... So JJ was laid up for about a week, dead to the world. Luckily, he's feeling good, spry. Froggy's back with us.
Sure.
And he's ready to talk about Ubiquiti stuff and the tough switches. What's your impression of the tough switches? So they're basically, what are they, like 8-port, 5-port, and 8-port PoE switches, right?
Yeah, they... I seen one somewhere once upon a time actually being used. it was actually connected to some sensors, and they were using the tough switch to power these guys. Some of the M5 stuff. But all in all, I think it's gonna be a great thing for the Wisp industry, or not just Wisp. I mean, you can use this thing anywhere. I'm pretty sure that the Pro model is going to do AF or 24 volt non-standard. So you just, you know, you can plug in your what, you know, all your different gadgets and gadgets, no matter whether they're 24 volt or 48 volt, and you'll just be able to rock and roll with them. I don't know if it's auto sensing or if you have to go into a menu and click it. Right. You know, to switch between the two, and I think they're also making like a for the Pro model, they're making this little, you know, side by side unit that for
it
rack
looks like a 1U rack mount, right? You just snap two of these guys in, so that'll give you what 16 ports of PoE right there.
So yeah, 16 ports a gig PoE.
So it does the, what is it, the Phantom power? Is that what that is?
Yeah, I think they stole some technology from the microphone, you know, the audio world,
right?
To do Phantom power. The first time I ever seen it was in some of the Microtik gigabit PoEs. First time I seen it, I was like, PoE gigabit? How they do that? You know, on non-standard. So
yeah, because on a standard 10-100, you're only using 4 of the 8 wires for data. So they just use the remaining wires for power. And then the gigabit, they're using all 8 wires, so they've got to do some kind of phantom power magic. I know there's a Wikipedia article on it somewhere out there that kind of describes sort of how it works. I'm not sure if their implementation's exactly the same, but that's out there. So it looks like the tough switch, the standard models, the 5-port, the Pro is going to be the 8-port. I don't know. And you said the Pro's actually got the AF compliant, or the standard 24 volt. Any other features that you know of that it's got? I mean, it looks just thicker, maybe.
Yeah, well, it's got a built-in power supply. If you look at their documentation, you can see that the Pro has a built-in power supply, so you just plug AC power directly into it. Where if you're doing like a solar deployment, you'd want to use like just the regular tough switch PoE, the 5-port job, because then you could power the PoE itself off of your, you know, your 24-volt. Or, you know, until I get one in my hands to actually play with, you know, I'm curious if it'll actually run off 12-volt, because all the Ubiquiti stuff will run off, you know, 12-volts. It actually kind of dies at about 8.99 volts. And I know this because we have a lot of solar that dies in the winter, which we've got, you know, mostly fixed. It's just more money, more problems, I guess. So, but all in all,
custom is dead, which is right.
What was that, Andrew?
Customers don't watch this ride.
Listen, yeah. I love the way he's like, yeah, we've got it mostly fixed.
Well, we won't know until it's winter again. So, you know, we go fix it, and then, you know, you plan for the worst, and then something even worse happens. So,
yep. Well, the thing I noticed about the, you know, the non-pro model was it comes with a 2.5-amp power supply, so it's, you know, it's got some beefy requirements.
Wow. So the non-pro is a 2.5-amp power supply. Yeah, that's going to be a hefty brick on that thing. That's a lot of juice.
Yeah, like, have you guys used the, what is it, the 750UP?
I haven't had the opportunity to use one yet, no.
I've used a few here and there, and I think it comes with a 2-amp brick. I mean, it's like a laptop brick. I mean, it is
pretty substantial.
Yeah, the last one that I went and worked on this past week, ants had built a nest under the brick. I guess it was nice and warm.
Nice and warm. I heard something about the way the electricity modulates, it attracts them or something like that.
It must. I'll tell you what takes care of them. It's RAID.
Is that right? We found
50.
We found that there's
fire, literally.
Is that what? Like, a can of gas and a match seems to do a good job on. But for us, there's like these little gray pucks about that thick and a little stake, and you just stake that near your equipment, and that's done good for us, pretty much everywhere.
But I'm really excited about the Tough Switch. I can't wait to actually use them in production. I've been using the UPs just because it's available.
Right, a managed PoE switch, right?
Yeah. You know, I like being able to go in and see what the interface is running at, because lots of times out at these sites, in the way that we deploy stuff, you know, you might have something sitting at 10 megabits and not even know it, and people are, oh, you know, I got this problem or that, you know, this is slow, that's slow. Oh, yeah, well, let me just force 100 meg. Oh, it's all works now. So,
is there any specifics available yet on the layer 2 and layer 3 feature sets for them?
Are they? I don't know that they're even planning layer 3. Are they?
I haven't
seen anything on layer 3. No.
No, I think they're focusing all their layer 3 energy on the EdgeOS stuff, and just going to make a switch, which is, I think that's a smart idea for them, just to kind of focus the product on to be just a switch, because I think they can get that to market and to be stable a lot faster than if they try and add routing features into it. I would that would scare me away from the product for probably 6 months at least if they tried to
They're really not making that big of a deal of it either. You know, if you find it on their website, you know, it's under accessories under the MiFi stuff.
Yeah, that's the last place I saw it too. Because if you're just looking for Tough Switch, I wasn't able to like pull up Tough Switch off the Ubiquiti page.
I mean, the Tough Switch Pro is a pretty hefty piece of hardware. Like, when you're holding it in your hands, it's heavy. I mean, it feels impressive. I'd like to use one, for sure.
I mean, according to their documentation, it does port monitoring, VLANs, spanning tree, rapid spanning tree, does support jumbo frames.
Wow.
What do they define as jumbo? They're usually defining anything larger than 1524 as jumbo.
Right.
That's what I was figuring.
Some people are kind of saying, well, if I'm 4,000, then I'm considered jumbo. I think if you're not over 9,000, you're not jumbo.
Yeah, some people have different versions of jumbo frames.
Yeah, they do. And even, like, Cisco has a couple of different versions of jumbo frames, what they consider to be jumbo. That's cool.
No, I'm specifically interested in, like, we do a lot of work with VLANs and FTP instances, so that sort of thing, how capable are they going to be in that area? I mean, is it something you're supposed to be putting in a segment on its own?
I think rewinding back to something I heard at one of the shows, I think they said that it was going to be capable of... This could have been another product, but I really think that they said that it was going to be capable of four individual VLANs. And they tried to do more than that, but there was a hardware problem with the chipset they're using, because I think they're still using some Atheros chip in this. But I could be thinking way out of left field.
I was going to say four VLANs, that's virtually nothing. That seems so ridiculously small of the...
So, and I may be thinking of the Unify. So, I know that there's a 4 VLAN
on something.
Limitation on something.
On the tough switch, on the tough switch here from their documentation, I see it says 300 watts of power supporting up to 16 devices. I guess that's when you stack two of them together. They're considering that, because all the stuff I've seen, they've only shown an 8-port model.
Yeah, I think their little rack mount job. MSRP, I was kind of snooping around, and I seen a couple of different things on the street price on these. I think that their 5-port version will be sub $100, and then the Pro, I've seen people saying it's going to be as much as like $229, which I don't think they'll fly off the shelf at that price.
No, I don't either. It says 8, 24, or 48 volt devices with software selectable output voltage control. So you do have to manually select it in software.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know. Like, because I use a lot of ProCurve stuff, and you just... And it's... You know, it'll turn the power on, turn the power off. I think it somehow pulses the port and sees if what's there.
Yeah, it says the PoE stuff is off by default. So I'm guessing that's their thing. Hey, you got to turn it on. When you turn it on, you better make sure you know what's plugged into
it. Gotcha. So don't blame us when you fry your device.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and another thing, when you're using the Microtik 750 UPs, do not, a tower that's 50 or 60 miles away, don't turn off either one if that's your ingress.
That's a bad idea? That's what you're telling me?
Yeah. Yeah, don't do that.
You talking from experience here?
No, hypothetical.
Hypotheticals, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, according to a couple people on the, couple, I should say, reputable people on the forums, the it's software selectable passive PoE.
Okay. Cool. Well, I think we've beat this tough switch horse to death.
We should all get one to try.
If somebody would send me one, I'd gladly try it. So let's
take pictures of it across the country. The traveling tough switch.
There you go.
I think they got some of those already. It's the only time I've ever seen them.
Shut your face, JJ. with your so let's move on to the next Ubiquiti thing, which would be the Ubiquiti MFi stuff, and they're calling
it's a Ubiquiti.
It's whatever you want it to be. That's what it is. Ubiquiti MFi, and so MFi is their new machine-to-machine communications reinvented platform. So it's basically a platform that's got various sensors that kind of live out in the world. It looks like they've got, as far as sensors go, they have a wall mount motion sensor, they've got a ceiling mount motion sensor, they've got what looks like it's probably a digital thermistor, so they've got temperature. They've got a split core CT that'll clamp over. It looks like it does 0 to 100 amps, which is actually pretty cool, depending on the price point. And then they've got just kind of a standard door contact. It looks like those sensors you actually have to cable into another device. They're calling it the M-Port. It looks like about the size of a pack of cigarettes, maybe a little bit bigger. It's got two inputs for sensors, so it looks like you can only run two sensors off this thing. And then it's got also this little snap-in section that'll support one dry contact, it looks like, so your IO, so for like your door contact. It's also got a USB port for, I don't know what, maybe updates or something like that. And then it's got wireless built in as well as an Ethernet jack. So that's how that guy gets back to the real world. And then what else? They also announced their M-Power, which actually looks really interesting to me, probably the most interesting thing, and what I assume will fly off the shelves is their M-Power. They've got an 8-port version, 3-port, and a 1-port, and what it basically is, it's software-controlled power strip that actually, it appears from the documentation so far, until we actually see anything real, I'm not sure, but it appears that it's got CTs built into each plug, so you can actually measure amperage on each individual port. And so 8, the 3, and the 1. The 1's actually a really small form factor, so it's kind of cute.
I think the purpose of that would be like you know, your smart homes, where you go into these homes and you know, you could just turn everything on a schedule. Their software on this is going to make or break this product, in my opinion.
I think also how open they leave this thing. The 8 port, I right now at my towers use, I'm looking at one right now, but I can't see the name on it. It's an 8 port.
Are you the web power? The digital loggers?
Yeah, the digital loggers guy. I use those out of the towers where it runs, you know, the ping script, make sure all my stuff's up. I can remotely reboot things, and that saved me plenty of late night truck rolls, you know, to just go reboot something. And so I'm willing to bet if this little product is solid and can be somewhat standalone, I can see people using it there, you know, in the tower kind of location.
It'd still be nice to collect that data, you know, of, you could almost say all my transmitters and, you know, I just think of things sometimes in the WISP world, but there's so many applications for, you know, could you imagine having one of those plugged into everything in your home and you could just sit there and be like, oh, well, my stupid printer is costing me $15 a month. Just because I left it turned on, you know, it'll help you find those parasitic devices in your home.
Right, right. I think, I mean, it's going to be a whole lot of fun for sort of like automation tasks, you know, like turn things on, turn, you know, when I get home, the motion detector will pick up that I've just arrived and it'll turn on the lights. And, you know, I mean, I can definitely see fun applications like that.
Well, you got the X10 stuff and things like that.
Yeah.
A lot of people use that, but like you said, the software will make or break it, because the X10 stuff, you know, it went through a pretty trying time, but they got it worked out. But it's, you know, it's still ancient.
Right.
So if they can,
the cost will be a big part as well, just given current ubiquity costs as compared to X10 gear. If they do it at the same low price that everything else they're bringing out is, then for people just wanting to enter that area, whether it's just for home use or data center use, it makes the entry level requirement a lot lower.
I think you're definitely right. I mean, if you're going to compare the X10 stuff, X10's been out for, God, probably like 20 years, 15 years, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's been out forever, so there's tons of Chinese knockoffs of everything, so you can get X10 stuff ridiculously cheap. X10 does kind of the wireless thing, some of their wireless, but from what I understand, it's really hit or miss. It's kind of spotty, and then they also carry signals through the power lines, but I hear, again, that's kind of can be hit or miss, and
well, with all the new modern technology, such as, you know, fluorescent bulbs, you got to have special X10 gear.
Yeah, so I think reliability is going to be a big one. The software, like everything Ubiquiti does, it looks gorgeous. I mean, you can't deny that everything looks like it came from Apple. You know, it's just all smooth, curved, pretty. People write this kind of software when they drive to work from their, get out of their Jetta and then pull up their MacBook and then, you know what I mean? So it's gorgeous stuff. But yeah, is it going to be solid? Is it going to run light? I don't know. You know, in their demo video that they have, it's obviously, it reminds me of the Home of the Future videos from the 50s, you know, where everything's made out of, everything's Teflon coated and then, you know, out of the center of the stove, comes this little console, and she pushes a button, and then a hot dog magically appears. You know, it's kind of, it's obviously, it's not a realistic representation of how this stuff would legitimately be used, but it's, you know, it's cool, and it really, what I think the most powerful thing they could do for this platform is to make it really open, and to have it available via, I think number one would be SNMP. Can I SNMP pull this stuff? You know?
Yes.
So can I roll my cacti, or can I roll my SolarWinds or my WhatsApp? Can I have this information available via there? And not only can I pull, but can I do SNMP writes? Can I SNMP write to these electrical outlets and turn them on and off with that? I mean, I think that would open up a huge market segment for these guys if they were to allow other existing tools to just plug right in and go to town. And then for me, since I do a lot of controls and SCADA acquisition, After I think SNMP, I start thinking Modbus. Can I pull this guy via Modbus TCP? You know, can I use it as a slave or a master or a gateway? You know, what can I do with these things with my existing tools so that I can just integrate them into my system and start using them? You know, the software package is great for somebody who is starting fresh or wants just kind of a smaller application. But if you've got a big control system already, it's already got these protocols that it's using. If you can support them, I can just start rolling your equipment into my environment, you know? I could bring you into the fold.
Yeah.
So that's, you can tell, I'm kind of excited about this stuff. I love, one of the things I've always loved doing is controlling the real world with a computer. You know, just the idea of that, of being able to do that, has always really intrigued me. I think I bought my first Arduino like 7 years ago or something like that. I don't know. It was like as soon as they came out, I was like, oh my God, what is this thing? And I can start controlling the world with it and eventually take everything over. So that's the bulk of the MFI stuff. There is another module that's, to me, another kind of mystery cloud thing floating. It's called the MFI import serial. So it's got a RS-232 422-485 port on it. So they're saying you can plug it into like a Cisco switch or Cisco router and get remote capabilities to that. But I'm wondering, since it does 485, are you going to be able to tie this into a 485 ring and have it act as a master and start like polling stuff? Can you put some kind of scripts in the imports themselves to have them do some automated tasks? And I was like, the only thing they've done is just made me ask more questions. That's all I could do with this stuff. There's just not enough information out there yet.
Well, and I think that's part of their maybe strategy, and maybe JJ can elaborate on what he knows. But it seems to me Ubiquiti kind of throws these out there and says, okay, you know, here's what we're thinking. What can we do once you have it in your hands? You know, you see what we're thinking. You know, instead of us just, you know, telling you about it, here's what it is. Tell us what else you want it to do.
That would actually be so brilliant. Hey, here's this announced product. What would you maybe think it should do? And then eventually I just start writing everything. JJ shaking his head like that sounds somewhat
correct. I got that impression with the cameras. You know, hey, we got this basic camera out there. You know, when we were in Chicago, a lot of the questions were, you know, about the cameras were, well, can it do this? Well, yeah, it can. Let's talk about it.
Let's make it do this.
Well, I mean, how, if you guys could envision using this stuff, how would you use it? Like, what would you want to do with it?
I could see it replacing all my X10 stuff. You know, I have X10 that closes my drapes at night and opens them in the morning, and you know, I've wanted to update that stuff for a long time.
Yeah. How about you, JJ and Andrew? What would you guys do with it?
I'll go first. JJ's. I don't necessarily have an easy situation to put it in my own house. Given I've been through like 3 or 4 different rental houses now.
But how would you put it in your car? Let's go there.
Car or van, actually. No, I guess that sort of stuff's always interested me, and to the point of, automatic, like putting power control in radio systems and things, I don't have a problem with. Most of the stuff I'd be more interested in, though, is not just power control, because I guess power control is the basic side of it. Then, like the stuff that Justin was talking about, where you have your blinds open to close, or if people have their screens drop down for their projectors and things like that, it's just all tied in together. Whereas normally you don't have that sort of integration between systems. You've got a switch here and a switch here, and you turn everything on one at a time.
Yeah.
So just tying that sort of stuff together, I guess, would be my my primary goal with anything like that.
Cool. I see JJ's mouth moving, but I don't hear anything.
Yep.
I still can't hear.
He's mining for us.
Alright, so he's doing sign language. So while JJ sign language is stuck.
Hey, can you hear me now?
There we go. Now I can
hear.
There we go. Crazy Scott. I really don't know how I'd use this stuff. I really like their concept of the serial port. I think I like the serial port. I don't know. We've been doing so much with Arduino. I think the unified software that they're going to have with it, just a nice polished software, if it's up to the task, will be the thing I'm most excited about. Just taking lots and lots and lots of devices and controlling different environments. Especially if you could like put this software, on a virtualized machine in a data center or something, and control your work, your home, all your environments from one centralized piece of software. I think that would be super cool.
Yeah, I think it's like, tying in, say that somebody was saying, could you tie in the motion detectors with the air view, like the cameras and stuff. So if you see motion is detected, then, do something with the cameras, record something. Or I know they kind of already have that functionality, but that's another sort of avenue I guess you could go with it. So, have we beat this one to death?
Yeah, I think
yep.
So.
Right. I think with the information that we have available to us right now, yeah.
So much speculation at this point. They look fun. They look cute. For the price point, because I do like branch circuit monitoring and stuff like that. So, doing a large collection of information, I don't know that they could beat the price on commercial branch circuit monitoring. For just a ton of circuits, but I think a couple of circuits here or there, I can see them doing something with that. That's pretty neat. So. Let's move on to the MikroTik RB2011LS-IN, or as I like to call it, the SFP MikroTik, because it's
yep.
Right now it's the only one that exists. So they've started shipping those guys. JJ, you got one or two of those, and
yeah.
I actually got one in Friday, and I got to play with it on Monday, finally.
I have six in hand, ready to go on towers as soon as it cools down here.
There you go, ready to rock. So I had some Cisco and Cisco compatible SFPs. I chunked them in. They all got recognized. They all worked right out of the box. Ran into a 3550. Did some speed tests through everything. I mean, worked as advertised. It seemed to work great. The only kind of weird thing I saw is that the SFP port, it shows up under interfaces as SFP1. If you disable it in the interface, the SFP actually stays online, still passing light. So my connectivity, my link light over the 3550, even though the SFP was disabled, was up. So it was sending and receiving, and the link light on the RB stayed up too. So to me, that sounds like a bug.
Firmware bug or something?
Yeah, because in every piece of equipment, and I've got the newest firmware, I've got the newest software revision on it as well. So I'm not sure. Maybe it got overlooked, because every piece of equipment I've ever used, if you shut down or disable an optical interface, it physically brings it down.
Yeah, it should shut off the light. I mean, it should for safety purposes and everything
exactly.
else.
Yeah. So that's something hopefully they'll address. But other than that, I mean, it doing, say, UDP, it passed nearly line rate going through the device. It was maxed out 100% CPU, but that's what you expect because it's all processor. I've got one facility that's all fiber distribution just because it's like a 150 square foot building. And so I'll probably use these to kind of break out connectivity to the customers at the edge inside there. So I plan on using these. I even got the cute little metal bracket thing, which I forgot.
Did I get one of those?
I left it in the box, so I didn't even actually try the bracket, but I will at some point.
I'm still really interested in seeing like a more refined version of the switch control on those. I mean, if you're obviously you can't use it for gigabit routing because the processor in them is quite low powered.
600 megahertz.
For the switch side of things, the biggest problem I currently have is that the switch VLAN configuration and filter configuration is so. I wouldn't say
arcane.
It's very like detailed and complex, but that also means it's very hard to kind of pick up and work with. Whereas everything else normally on the MicroTik here is it's pretty straightforward. If you know what you're looking for, you can go through and add your interfaces and join them into a bridge and all that sort of thing. This whole VLAN configuration thing is it's non-intuitive, so...
And I don't know, maybe that's just me, but I haven't seen a lot of good documentation on it, like even wiki style. I don't know, have you... Maybe it's improved since the last time I looked. I'm not... Holy shit.
There's like one basic example of it on the wiki. I haven't really seen much else in the forums with people using it, but... Yeah, I think either it needs a good tutorial to step people into how it works, or it just needs a bit of a redesign on how to set it up. Maybe even one of the old style automatic setup. Click the setup button. What VLANs do you want to assign, and tick which ports you want to assign, and that sort of thing. Similar to the web interface was on the 250. Mm-hmm. I mean, something like that would help. People
yeah.
get it set up, and then you can export the config and kind of understand how it all links into each other.
Because, I mean, some of the 250 was kind of, I'm going to say, a little convoluted, the configuration, but you could still get your way through it. Maybe like a setup button like Hotspot has, or like DHCP
yeah,
server,
yeah.
so that it,
yes.
and then you can just go in and look, okay, what exactly did it do, and this is how I do it from now on. That would be awesome. You're, I mean, 100% on that. I think that would help a lot. A lot.
Yeah. The other thing yeah. I which ties in with this 2011 that I noticed and I posted about last night is it looks like MicroTik will be releasing some of their own SFTs for these. And previously they've said in the forums that they didn't have anything and you could just use it with any generic SFTs, but there is a lovely new list of devices in the supported hardware list, which I'll get Greg to link at the on the podcast side.
Yeah, yeah. Leave it to Andrew to dig through and find these things. Oh,
it was actually Andrew Thrift who found them. So we were chatting about it last night, and there's a little gem in there as well that has been tested with the 2011 LS-IN A router. There's a 10 gig interface listed there,
which seems crazy that you would stick a 10 gig interface into a router that's got a 600 megahertz processor. But
exactly, yeah, they're just asking for all kinds of support trouble there.
Well, the idea of a device that probably will ever max out at like maybe in a perfect world at like 300 megabits, 400 megabits. Well,
If using the switch chip, and the switch chip does work at wire speed, then what? They have 5 gigabit ports and 500 meg ports. So realistically, the maximum throughput you're going to get is about 5.5 gig from the 10 gig port if that's what the SFP ends up supporting, to all the other ports on the...
Right. Is it one big set of ASICs that run the gig, the Ethernet, and the SFPs all tied into one set of switching ASICs?
No, sorry. It's one that runs the 5 gigabit ports and the SFPs for memory.
Okay. So it actually
the
does...
The SFP is tied into that first switch group.
Okay, well, see, that does seem a little bit more logical. If you could just switch all those together. Because I remember seeing that the from what I recall, the 100 and the gig were actually split into different ASICs. Yeah. I wasn't sure about it, the SFP. So if the SFP is shared, that does make sense.
But if you were to do any, like, if you were to turn on connection tracking on that, it would puke itself.
Oh, it would die. But if you think about it, to be able to have a switch that can terminate 10 gig, bust out 5 gig ports, this is really, really, really cheap. Especially for it to be a managed device.
And the routing functionality is...
What
just
if they did it?
Oh, yeah.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't to get into 10 gig optics, isn't it SFP Plus or XFP?
Yeah, the SFP Plus is going to be the small stuff, the standard interface people are used to seeing. What is it? Then there's like Cisco has like X2, and then I think XFP, and then there's several kind of older standards iterations. I know the X2 optics are big. I mean they're larger than a GBIC and they're deeper. But you can get those guys for $200 for a 10 gig optic. So I don't mind having something that huge if it's that cheap.
Yeah.
I'd be curious to see if MikroTik's actually branding their own 10 gig optics, what's the price going to look like on those. And so far it seems like it's working with any SFP that I've tested, that I've thrown into it. So I know gray market, I get ridiculous prices. Like on for an SFP, I can get one for probably $50 for a single mode, you know, probably $30 for a multi-mode. So if I could buy a refurb SFP Plus, I would do that as opposed to buying something brand new. I'm cheap.
And again, if MikroTik come out with their own ones, they'll probably be quite affordable anyway.
Yeah. It's a brand new piece of equipment, and it's a good deal. It's kind of hard to argue with that. That's cool. Interesting. I wonder what the lead time on those are. Like, if they're actually... I guess that's something that's probably going to be announced at the next MUM.
It's got here on the like works doesn't work section. They've got available in Q3, so I'm guessing they're going to announce them at one of the next MUMs. Maybe this other product. Obviously, I'm speculating here, but maybe it's a different model of the CCR that supports a 10 gig interface. Maybe it's something completely new. I mean, we've heard from the MikroTik guys that they're looking to bring out more higher-end products, and the CCR is a start to that, but maybe there's other stuff going on too.
Yeah.
And well, you know, if you... Normus had a thing, a post. He actually started the post about, you know, which SFP modules are important to you. So they're, you know, they're definitely shopping.
Yeah. I know when the CCR was first announced, looking at the processor chips that are actually in them, depending on what model you went, there were a lot of 10 gig pass in that processor. So, I mean, conceivably, you could easily do some SFP Plus interfaces straight off of that processor back into the board. So, I mean, it only seems like a natural extension just to do another CCR that does have the 10 gig optics. And then,
so are we going to actually see a CCR in New Orleans, do you think?
I think they'll probably have one of the prototypes there. I don't know if they'll have something that came off a production line, you know, but I'm willing to bet they're going to have some piece of hardware to show, and everybody's seen like the 951 and everybody's seen everything else. Well, I guess maybe they'll try and have one of the metals there. I don't know that they've really had those around yet, but...
We're nominating you, Greg, as the person to abscond with it.
Is that right? So you guys are the ones that create the diversion then. I'm thinking musical theater. So you guys you start working on that. Start working on your singing voices. It's got to be good. I mean, it's got to be the whole package. So it's got to be, you know, dancing, the singing. You got to have outfits. Matching outfits is a must, obviously.
I don't know. Oh, I don't think I would want Giannis after me.
Which one? The sales one or the real one?
Oh, Giannis Megas.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think
if
I would either.
I mean, either one. You'd either have this really tall guy after you or you'd have...
I think as long as your dancing's good enough, he wouldn't notice. Because Giannis actually has like a history of dancing. Like he does like salsa and stuff like that. So there you go. Don't judge a book by its cover. He might. You guys might have a dance off. You might have to do that thing where you tie your hands together and you're doing the switchblade thing from the Bad video. I don't know. There's no telling what'll happen.
So
I think we beat that one to death. One other thing I thought was funny was that a guy named Matt Hardy, which the Ubiquity peeps will know, he kind of owns the forums. He speaks at all the Air Max conferences and stuff. He on Facebook the other day, he posted up a picture of the main Ubiquity lobby headquarters, and they have this big screen in there, and there's a picture of My Ugly Mug and Andrew. They're actually playing one of the Brothers West videos right there in the lobby. I thought that was just too cool for school. So yeah, we're world
we're
famous.
We're the big time now.
I know, that's
it
right.
Means so they're watching us.
what they didn't show was Matt didn't turn around and take a picture of all the attorneys sitting there in the chairs.
Right, just writing up cease and desist orders. Yeah, brilliant. So that just means that Microtech needs to one up them. I mean, to me, that's really where it's at.
Challenge is on.
I think that the gauntlet's been thrown down. I don't know where they can go from this, but they got to do something. They can't leave this unanswered. Yeah.
A big Microtech banner at the next mum with our heads on it.
Andrew's troll face.
That's great.
Good times. Yeah. So who knows? Who knows what'll happen next? We talk about enough of their stuff. So I think it's cool that we got a little some props from them. It's pretty neat.
It's really cool. Did you guys see the Google Glass debut? You know,
I didn't even bother watching it.
Well, I'm too good really, for that. I mean, I watched the behind the scenes stuff because they used Ubiquity antennas to with the skydivers. Did you guys see that stuff?
No,
I saw.
Yeah, they had a hangout in the sky, basically. They had these guys jump out of a blimp or something, and they were all wearing the glasses and recording and streaming as they did it, so...
It's ridiculous. So they were basically getting cooked with microwaves all the way down, is what you're telling me.
Yeah, they had, like, little scopes rigged up on the edge of the dish, and they were on, like, swiveling tripods, and they were just baking them on the way down.
So basically these guys are never going to have kids again, but they looked really awesome wearing the glasses.
I mean, who knows, maybe, I mean, they got the FAA to change some of the rules. Maybe they got the FCC to do the same, and they got to run some power.
That's cool. Who knows? I don't know, because I heard a lot of jokes regarding that, saying, you know, so does that mean people are going to have to walk behind you with a dish when you're going down the street trying to work? Or?
Yeah, I seen that when someone said, oh, that's what the $1,500 is for.
It pays a bum to walk behind you with an access point.
But I mean, if you can get the cost of in the States anyway, the cost of LTE connectivity down low enough, or like I think when they start doing all these Bitbucket plans, you know, your little glasses will already have LTE connectivity. So, you know, having your phone connected to your glasses, you won't have some, you know, jank. Bluetooth just never connection. Ever worked. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think if, you know, if your glasses have LTE, I mean, you could be, you know, on the other side of town and still, you know, working with your phone. That would be awesome.
Oh, yeah, you don't want to be doubling up your battery consumption by having Bluetooth or something connecting in between those sort of things either.
I guess
as it is, our smartphones, battery lives are getting shorter and shorter.
Yeah. The last phone I had was the HTC Incredible, and it went for a swim in the ocean, so it kind of never came back. So I got a Razer Max. It's got like a bigger battery, and it seems to do better than anything I've ever seen so far. I think it's best battery life of anything 4G LTE.
Yeah, I think they advertise that it has super duper battery life, don't they?
It really gets, like, with regular phone usage, a good solid day. That's about what you can expect out of it.
Did you get ice cream sandwich pushed to you over the weekend?
Nothing over the weekend. I think, didn't it come with ice cream sandwich preloaded?
Oh, they just started pushing it.
Oh, did they?
To the Razors, yeah.
No, I haven't seen it upgrade for a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, because ours upgraded to ice cream sandwich over the weekend.
That's cool. That's cool.
Fun of us Mac users about stuff. You guys are talking about ice cream sandwich and crap like that.
It's delicious. Alright, so Andrew's got a cut here. He's gotta do real work. So let's do the quick sign off. Andrew, anything new that you've been up to? Anything you want to talk about?
A lot of systems integration and merger work. The company I work for just bought two other small companies, so working on merging the hotspot networks together and seeing how someone else does a non-MikroTik hotspot system has been quite interesting. A lot of strings and things pulling different services for their implementation, which uses PPPoE, but it's just very interesting to see someone else who's been running with a similar sort of setup for a number of years and how they've got around not having MikroTik gear. Kind of feel sorry for them.
Alright, so I see where things are headed for you guys then.
It's pretty much a given that we'll move to something that we've been running with Stably now for 20, well, we're up to like 22,000 rooms across Australia.
Wow.
And they've got another, I think, 8,000 at present, so.
Wow.
Brings us up to a nice high number.
I was about to say, that's a pretty substantial increase.
Yeah.
Alright, man. Well, hopefully at some point you'll take a break and breathe and possibly sleep.
Well, this is my break now.
Like, you just wasted it, man. You wasted it. I'm gonna say Justin, you go next, and if Andrew, if you got to cut out, brother, it's great having you. So until next time. Yeah.
But I got a call in 4 minutes. So all
right, dude. We'll holler at you later. We'll wrap it up and make fun of you after you drop off the call.
We'll see you later, Andrew.
Cheers.
All right, Justin, what have you been up to?
I've just been on vacation.
And don't rub it in with the vacation thing.
We drove from Indiana to Louisiana.
How long did that take?
About 13 hours.
Oh.
It was an easy drive, though. Got to see lots of Ubiquiti equipment along the way.
Did you make it a working trip?
Yeah, it was the geek in me, you know, had a lot of staring out the window time.
Uh-huh.
We took the same route there and back, so I got to, you know, hone in on some stuff on the way back. But other than that, it's just been fun non-work stuff.
That's awesome. So you found some good places for us to go eat, right?
Oh, yeah, and if we like live music, there's a place on Bourbon Street that the band is awesome. The Shot Girls are awesome. I'll leave it at that.
Shenanigans. It's not made for mainstream consumption, so we'll just stop it there.
His Mac crashed again.
Oh. Well, at least he made it right to the end of the call. All right, JJ. So on to JJ. I was sick of him anyway, talking about being on vacation. I'm done with that. Man.
What do you? It's no fair. He's on vacation.
Yeah, I dropped. Yeah, that's funny. I've just been sick, and then I got unsick, and then we had lightning storms. Destroyed some of my stuff, so I've been working on that. I've been spending a lot of time learning Viata. It's a pretty neat platform.
You like it?
Yeah. It's different. You know, coming off Microtik and going into that, you know, it's all the same. It's kind of like, you know, I'm driving a car. You know, you jump in a different car. It's like, okay, well, where's the windshield wipers and where's the gear shifter and, you know.
I don't know that that's a fair analogy. To me, at least Viata, the last time I used it, it was like going from a car to try to drive an airplane, you know, or to fly an airplane, I should say. It's like completely different. It was kind of cumbersome and clunky. Everything was kind of command line-ish, it felt like. I think, haven't they started rolling it in so they have kind of like a Cisco-like interface now, too?
Yeah, you the biggest thing that it took me a minute to get used to was you've got like this edit mode, and so you go edit your live config, then you go commit that, and my understanding is it's a lot like how you do it on Juniper. I've never really played with Juniper that much, but it's pretty cool. I'm still in my infancy and my knowledge of it, but you know, I can configure an OSPF area and bring up an instance, and I've got it. I've got that Viata communicating with an OSPF instance on a Microtik, so I'm still trying to, you know, get all that hashed out. So I got an x86 Microtik to keep up with my x86 Viata. So
cool, man. I haven't been doing hardly anything of interest lately. Was it Friday? We went to Schlitterbahn. It's this big water park down here.
Oh, I've seen they have that on the Travel Channel.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, weird.
Check it out. It's like on the best, you know, water park episode that they have.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of fun place. Kids always have a blast. One thing I did notice was off of one of their tube rides, probably one of the taller ones, they had a nano station pointing back, and then they had an Omni. I think the Omni was coming off a rocket. I want to say it was coming off a rocket. So it looks like that's how they're doing distribution throughout the park, is just pulling back from a central point at a high tower and just Omni-ing it out.
Here's something I'd like to see from our listeners. Just send us photos of, you know, not really weird Ubiquity installations, but places where you wouldn't expect wireless to be, you know.
Right, you just run
like
into
that
it.
When you look up, oh, you know, that it makes sense, but I didn't expect it to be there.
For sure. And I know it was at one of the MUMs talking to Sam. He had all these crazy ideas on how to hide your wireless. Some of it was really interesting, like his use of trash bags and great stuff foam, and it was like it was really interesting ideas.
I'll tell you, working
lot.
With that guy every day, I'm amazed.
Amazed that that he hasn't like either blown himself or other people up. Or
yeah, it is kind of like working with Doc Brown on a daily basis.
So you're just always running for it?
Yeah.
Gotcha. Never know when the Libyans are going to pop up.
Exactly.
That's cool. Like,
today was a blast. I mean, every single day. We fought bees this week. You know, we've got this tower out in the middle of nowhere that we own. And we have one of these enclosures on the side of it. It's like 18 by 18 gray enclosure. You go to Lowe's and buy them for like $30.
Oh, yeah. The little Nemo guys, right?
Yeah. And so we have a piece of conduit buried from the building over the tower, and then the conduit goes up into the bottom of the box, and we pulled all of our lines, you know, of our Ethernet cables through the conduit up into the box. We did that last year, and the knuckleheads that work for the county came over. There's two pieces of conduit, ours and theirs, right? Well, so someone pulled a piece of LMR 600 through our conduit into our box, and they went, oh, well, it's in this box. Instead of pulling it back out and running it through their conduit, which goes up the leg of the tower, they said, oh, I know. You know, they had a stroke of genius. The wizards are smart over here. They drilled two holes, one-inch holes, in the bottom of our enclosure. So the LMR 600 goes up through our box and back down and then back up the tower. So that's not, you know, I was like, okay, you bunch of lazy guys, whatever.
Yeah.
But the one-inch holes was the problem. They didn't fill it with anything, so now there was a hornet's nest. You know how much moisture they produce? I had a 750 UP in this enclosure. There was so much moisture from the hornet's nest. Well, first of all, it was like, I wish I had taken pictures of it. It was like a 750 imbued inside of a hornet's nest. And so we go fight the bees and have to re-terminate everything because everything was rusted. Like all of our shielded connectors, there was oxidation and rust on them because of all the moisture. I couldn't believe it. So that was kind of some of the wackiness I dealt with this week. It's just been one thing after another all week. I'm glad that it's a short week and I have a day off tomorrow. So.
Day off tomorrow? Yeah, I'm going to be working tomorrow. I'm replacing a supervisor in a 6500 at one of our sites. So, man. And one other thing, a note from me is that our shirts came out. I'm just going to show you the back. I'm not going to show you the front or any of the meat because I'm going to Photoshop my face in ridiculous poses. But right there at the bottom. The Brothers Wisp.
Nice.
There it is.
That's awesome.
Represent. And I think I'm going to offer some of these up for pre-sale before the mom, actually, just so I can help fund the trip down there. Really just looking to break even is all I'm looking to do. But also, it would be cool to see guys actually show up to the mom wearing them. I think that would be pretty killer.
Instead of day two.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
And so I've got a larger variety of sizes than I did last year. Some more shirts, so hopefully everybody will find what they're looking for. All right, man. So, any closing words?
My only closing words are have a safe and happy 4th for those in the U.S.
For sure, for sure. JJ?
The same. Just have a good 4th of July for the U.S. dwellers.
All right. So for me, hot dogs are a staple of the 4th of July. So do yourself a favor and Google for, I think it's like Chow. It's like some kind of Chow website. Spiral cut hot dogs. They'll change your life.
Spiral cut hot dogs. Okay.
Change your life. All right, guys.
Have a good night.
Y'all be good.